Can you hear me now? And I'm not with Verizon either, so. All right, well, we're in a series called Red Letters, and this whole teaching has been on the words of Christ. And so as we have kind of been walking through a few of the verses, and there's a lot of things that Jesus had to say, some great things that he had to say to us. And so what we want to do is kind of look at what does Jesus say to us? I mean, he's talking to the people there, no doubt about that. And, of course, the Red Letter Edition talks about, you know, or indicates, hey, these are the words of Christ. And so today, I want us to look at a story that many of us are familiar with, and it's about Peter and a couple of fishermen. So how many of you guys like to fish? Raise your hand if you like to fish. Anybody like to fish? Okay, raise your hand high. Be loud and proud. Okay, there you go. All right, so you guys like to fish. So this is a fishing story that you guys might appreciate. All right, so let's pick up in Luke chapter 5, and it says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. In other words, they're done for the day. And so stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help from the brought their partners in their other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, and were the others with him. And his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they had landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. And that's a great passage. And there's a lot that takes place in this one little area of Scripture here. This is Luke. And we see in the Scriptures that there's a couple of different places where it's recorded. It's called the Gospels. And you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was talking to someone this past week, and they were telling me about a time whenever a friend of theirs who was either not a believer or either a new believer was like, "Man, every time, you know, there's all kinds of stories. I didn't realize Jesus died so many times." And he's like, "He only died one time." And he goes, "Yeah, but every time I read a different story," and he's like, "Hey, listen, that's different perspectives." So it's kind of like the worship. For some of you guys, if I were to come ask you, "Hey, tell me about the worship," I might get four different kind of accounts of what it looked like or what it felt like or what it meant to you. And so that's what we see with the Gospels, but they line up, they line up perfectly. But it's different perspectives of what people have seen. And so Jesus has called, he's teaching, he's literally gone public, and he's began to heal people. He's began to walk around teaching about the kingdom of God. He's touching people's eyes and they're able to see. He's touching them and they're able to walk. And so there's this incredible change that has taken place. And so the people are pressing in. And most of us, if we were around someone who could touch you and heal you of your wounds, most of us would be interested enough to pursue, to follow, to get around that person. We'd want to be there. We'd want to go and see, you know, hey, what is happening? Because you keep hearing about it, and you keep hearing people talk about what this guy is doing, what he's saying, and man, he teaches with authority. There's something different about him. And so people were pressing in. The crowds were growing. And so he gets here, and he gets by the water, and anyway, they're kind of pressing in. And so he steps over into Peter's boat, and he tells Peter to push away, you know, to kind of move a little bit away from the bank. And so he's got this natural amphitheater, if you would. He's sitting on the water, you know, he's talking, he's teaching. And so Peter's sitting in the back of the boat. So he doesn't necessarily have a front row seat. He's got a back row seat. He's sitting behind Jesus listening to everything that he's saying. And so we see in the other Gospels, we look over in John, we see where John, where Peter was around John the Baptist. And he began to talk about, you know, the Messiah. And so, you know, so here's Peter. He's mentioned in John where he was with John the Baptist and these guys who are preaching repentance, you know, and baptism by water. But John was talking about, John the Baptist was talking about one that would come, that would be the Messiah, that would baptize with fire. And so Peter was interested, man. He was all about that, you know. And so, but he's sitting here in the boat and he's taking a listen. And he's listening. And so Jesus calls him. He calls him to go out, to push away, and to go out into the deeper water. And so it's a challenge for Peter. I mean, Peter's like, "Dude, And we've been working all night. In some translations it says we have toiled. We have toiled. We have worked hard all night. And so they're exhausted. They're done. They've already washed the nets. They've already put them away. They're ready to go get some rest. And here Jesus says, hey, listen, I want you to go push away. I want you to go out into the deeper water. And I want you to put your nets down. And some people, in some of the things that I've read, it talks about that in this area, this fishing kind of way of fishing they were doing, you fished in the shallows at night. But here Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I want you to go out into the deep in the day. I want you to let down your nets. But Peter says, hey, Lord, you know, but because it's you, he honors him. He says, because it's you, I'll do what you say. So Peter responds, he does what he says, and they have this miraculous catch where they have this, where the boats are overflowing to the point of both boats are about to sink. Kind of a big deal. And so we see that these are the first disciples. So Jesus said, hey, listen, I want you to come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We're going to be fishing for people. And so here we see the disciples being called. And so we get to be a part of making disciples. That's what we do here at Journey Church. We try to help make disciples. Jesus is calling the first 12. In the next few verses there that we see, he's calling these guys. He's saying, hey, listen, I want you to come follow me, and we're going to be trying to catch people, not fish. So one of the things that we see is that these guys responding in obedience. Obedience to go fish in the deeper water. Obedience to follow him. All right, so let's take a look at a couple of things here. One of the things that we try to invest in here at Journey Church is we try to invest in ministries that build disciples, make disciples. That's what Jesus was about, making disciples. So yesterday we had an opportunity to, we had a couple of teams that shot in a skeet tournament with Christian Missions Unlimited, a good friend of ours, Chuck Connor, and these are some pictures from there. And we were raising money to try to help build a church in Brazil. You know why we were doing that? So that we could invest. That's a good looking dude. And we were doing that to invest in building a church that will present the gospel and that will teach people how to grow in their faith in Brazil. And one of the things that Chuck had talked about was they're hoping to plant a church right on the edges of the bush, if you would call it, or the going into the jungles, and where guys would be able to come in and be trained and equipped to be disciples of Christ. And then take that back into the bush, take that back into the headwaters of the Amazon, take it back into where, you know, the people, man, they don't have a church on every street corner like we do. And so these guys were investing in that, and so it was a great time of fellowship for us. But here's the thing, got to raise like thousands of dollars to build a church in Brazil where the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached and where people will be equipped and trained to become followers of Christ. You know what they're doing? They're fishing for souls in Brazil. We got to be a part of that. So tonight we have something that we're doing, and it's called Dream Team Celebration. And so tonight we have Dream Team Celebration. And see, Dream Team Celebration, all of you guys who serve in any capacity in here, you can take that off screen. Any of those who serve in any capacity here at Journey Church, whether you're a greeter, an usher, whether you served in a parking lot, in children's ministry, wherever, then what we're doing is we're celebrating the fact that you guys help people take steps towards Jesus every week. No matter what you do, these guys who work back here in the sound booth, guys who work up in the tech booth, no matter what you do, if you're backstage, if you're on the praise team, we have said, hey, listen, we want to celebrate the fact that you guys are fishing for people. It's what you're doing. You're helping people take steps towards Christ, and you're trying to reach people with the gospel. And so, now here's the only bad thing about it. I talked to Kendra after the first service, and she said, hey, they can only come if they RSVP. So if you're one of those slackers who you don't RSVP or you wait to the last minute, you might have missed out, just saying. But it's a celebration. It is a fiesta. It's going to be good food. It's going to be good worship. It's going to be a good time. But hey, you may have missed your opportunity, but if not, make sure, if you did RSVP, make sure you're here tonight. And you might be able to go talk to Kendra. She might be willing to let you in if you beg enough. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be fun. But here's the thing. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Why don't we celebrate that? Because here's the thing. Everyone who welcomes someone out in the parking lot, you know, they're doing things in Jesus' name. They're helping these people take steps towards Christ. People will come in and they'll make decisions about whether or not they're going to stay here at the church. A lot of times based on what you guys do, how you treat them. A while ago, Matt said, hey, I want you to turn and shake hands and welcome somebody. Some of you guys made people feel welcome. And what you know what you're doing? You're doing that in the name of Jesus. You're hoping that they will feel accepted here, that they will, you know, maybe be comfortable to sit here. And here's the thing. Listen and hear what Jesus teaches. Hear what Jesus talks about. And find hope and find promise and find freedom. And so it's a positive thing. So that's the reason we invest in those things. That's the reason we celebrate those things. It's because it goes back to what Jesus said. Man, we're trying to reach people. So let's look at a couple of things about Peter here. We're going to break down Peter. I know he's talking about other guys here, but we're going to talk about Peter. All right, number one, Peter was interested. This is a big deal because Peter was interested in what was going on. Peter was interested in what Jesus had to say. And there's some of you that you're here today. You're interested in this Jesus stuff. You're interested in this Christianity. You're interested in what Jesus might have had to say. And here's the thing. Some of you, maybe not all of you, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to learn more about how he wants to be involved in our everyday decisions. And so you want to grow and learn and know more about how to live and walk in a way that honors him. So for most of us in this room, and I would say that would probably be the majority, we have a relationship with Christ and we want to get to know him better. And so that's a good thing. But there's some here that, you know, you don't have a relationship with him, but you've heard about him and you've seen maybe some other people trying to live out their faith and you feel like, you know what, they've got Christ in their life and man, I really want some of that. And so you're watching, you're looking, and maybe there's an interest there. Maybe there's just a little bit of an interest. You're like, you know, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to have peace that passes understanding? What does it mean to be able to lay your head down on your pillow and have a peace that, you know what, man, if I die tonight, I'm okay. I'm in good standing with God. What does that mean? You're interested. And so you're kind of weighing that out. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, dude, I'm interested. I want to know what that feels like. I've never been there. I've never had that kind of peace. I've never had joy. Man, I grew up, you know, in a bad situation. I've had a horrible home life and it seems like my whole life has been bad, 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 bad. And you know, I see people who talk about having joy and, you know, and just, you know, just overflowing joy, excited about the day. Man, I dread every day. So maybe you're here and you're interested in how someone could have joy in the midst of all the chaos that our world seems to be in. So here was Peter. Peter was interested. He was interested in what Jesus had to say. He was interested in the things of God. He was interested in, hey, is there more? And you wonder, hey, you know, did he sit there and did he think, man, is fishing for fish all there is? You know, getting up, putting the boat in the water, getting the nets out, hoping that something's in the nets, coming home, whatever we catch, we clean, whatever we catch, we eat, whatever we don't eat, we sell, and then we do the whole thing again tomorrow. So maybe Peter was just, maybe he was interested. Hey, is there something more to life than just living and dying? Is there a purpose? Is there more to what we're experiencing, you know, here in this world? And so maybe there may be some of you that you're the same way. You're kind of like Peter. You're interested. You want to know how do you experience this joy, this love, this peace, this patience, this kindness, this gentleness that comes only through the person of Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. How do you get that? So you have an interest. Here's another thing about Peter. He was seeking. Peter was seeking. It's obvious by the other Gospels that he was around the teachings. He was interested in what John the Baptist had to say, you know, who was saying, hey, I'm the one preparing the way. I'm like a voice calling out in the wilderness. And there's one that's coming that I'm not even worthy to untie sandals. There's one that will change everything. And he's coming. And so he was seeking. And so here we see that Peter was seeking out. He was wanting something more. You know, and there's a couple of things through the years with churches that we have kind of wars. And this is what happens is, you know, in the churches, is we have divisions, we have factions, we have things that happen within the church, the body of Christ. And within, you know, churches, we have people who say, well, you know, there's some churches that are seeker sensitive. We go, well, we don't want to be seeker sensitive. We're for the church. We're just for the bride of Christ. And here's my thing. I think that whenever I look at the scriptures, I think it's both. There's no way that the church grows day by day by day unless unbelievers are there to put their faith in Christ. There has to be unbelievers there to hear the gospel, and then the believers there growing in their faith. Here's the thing, serving those around them and looking for ways of reaching them and reaching out to them. So here's Peter seeking. It's not like Jesus, hey, you're a seeker, not going to be a part of what you've got going on. But he gets in his boat and he takes him out and he takes him fishing. He has the greatest catch of his life and he says, hey, listen, man, this is nothing. I've got more than this. Hey, come with me. We're going to be fishing for people. We're going to be fishing for people. And so there's a tendency for us to say, well, I'm going to only be this kind of church, and I'm only going to be this kind of church. We're to be the church. We're to seek, you know, look for ways for connecting with those people who are looking for hope. Ways of sharing hope with them. Peter was tired. That's another thing. Man, don't you get tired? I mean, I know I hear people all the time talking about how tired they are. Boy, it's a busy week. Boy, it's a tough week. You know, and I heard somebody say the other day, man, it was a long day. I was like, 24 hours, man. I mean, don't all of them have 24 hours in it? You know, but we talk about how long the day is, and how tired we are, and how much we have to do, and, you know, and our schedule, and, you know, and we've got proms going on, and we're staying up late, and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff that can tire us out. And sometimes it's just work. And like with Peter, it was just work. Maybe it was just life. But he was tired. And it says, like I said, in some translations, they had toiled all night. They had worked hard. And so here's Jesus saying, hey, listen, I want you to get up and I want you to go out and I want you to fish. And he's like, Lord, I don't really want to do that. And there's a couple of statements that I like. This one, it says, Peter showed his love and respect for Christ by not letting his better judgment hinder his obedience. Think about that. Peter showed his love and respect for Christ by not letting his better judgment hinder his obedience. Peter could say, hey, listen, dude, I'm a professional fisherman. I'm a professional fisherman. This is what I do all day long, every day. And you're telling me what to do. I understand you're a teacher. But, hey, listen, dude, this is what I do. He could have said, you know, maybe Peter was thinking, hey, listen, I know who you are. Listen, I know you grew up in a carpenter shop. But, dude, listen, you're not a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. You know, and he could have been wanting to tell him, all, but it doesn't say that he did that. And instead, he says, because of who you are. Master, because you say, I'll let the nets down. Because you say. Peter showed his love and respect for Christ by not letting his better judgment hinder his obedience. See, God desires obedience. Look at the next one there. Obedience to Jesus should not hinge upon favorable circumstances. Obedience to Jesus should not hinge upon favorable circumstances. For some of us in this room, that's kind of where we are. Man, you know, we're good with Jesus as long as it doesn't affect us in any real way. We're good with claiming we're a Christian as long as it doesn't cost us anything. We're good with being, a Christian and a follower of Christ as long as he doesn't call me to the mission field, as long as he doesn't call me to preach, as long as he doesn't call me to teach, as long as he doesn't do, some of these. Man, I'm good with it. Man, as long as I get to go into heaven, as long as I get to kind of get in there, I'm good. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Who would? You know what I'm saying? I mean, who would want to go to hell? Like, the biggest nut in the room would only say me, But the thing is we're saying, man, who would want to go there? And so the thing is obedience to Jesus should not hinge upon favorable circumstances. We've said this 1,000 times. There are people today who will put their faith in Christ and by doing so put their life on the line. There are people in foreign countries today that if they accept Christ, they literally put their life on the line. And their family will abandon them. Their family will say, you are dead to me. Because you have abandoned our religion or you have abandoned your family. And they will literally leave them and say, you are dead to me. And so, obedience. For us, it's like, man, hey, I'm going to walk down front or I'm going to raise my hand or I'm going to give my life to Christ. And, my family's going to celebrate it here and they're going to be excited about it. But there's some places where they don't celebrate it. They persecute them. But is that a reason to not be obedient to the calling that Jesus has on our life? Is it a reason to say, all right, I just thought I wanted Jesus. I don't want to have to deal with all this. See, obedience to Christ may mean that, God says, hey, listen, I want you to go to the job that pays less. I know you're praying about these jobs, but this is where I want you. And I know it doesn't pay what this job over here pays, but this is where I want you to serve. This is where I want you working. This is where I want you making a difference. And so obedience is not always about favorable circumstances. And Peter experienced that. It wasn't the best situation, but he took the boat out. And here's the thing, God came through. The next one here says, we are tempted to be guided by our fears instead of what God says. There's some of us that, we're afraid of what people might think. God tells us to do something. God tells us to share our faith. We're like, what if they reject us? God tells us to go bless someone. And we go, what if we offend them? God tells you to go do something and we're afraid that they may think we're a religious freak. They may think we're some kind of Jesus freak or whatever. And the thing is we let our fears direct us rather than God. And Peter, he may have been afraid. Hey, listen, I'm afraid this is going to be a wasted effort. We've already washed all these, and maybe he thought to himself, all right, if we don't catch any fish, he's up and washed the nets. I don't know, But the thing is he went out, he dropped the nets, and it was a miraculous catch. He said, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I mean, think about that, man. That's for any fisherman in the room, Dude, that's a good day. You catch so many fish that your boat is sinking. You know, that is an incredible day. Especially if, hey, we need these for food. We need these for, you know, to provide for the family. That's a big deal. That's a great day. And so here's Simon Peter who's had to work through some of these things. So let me ask you, are you obedient? When God tells you to do something, do you listen to fear or do you listen to Him? He tells you, hey, listen, I want you to bless someone, or I want you to witness to someone, or I want you to go do this or do that. Maybe there's been times, you know, I remember we had a missionary talking one time, and I remember thinking, you know what, I want to give a certain amount. And then I begin negotiating with God, like, hey, you know, instead of $100, what about $75? You know, I start kind of negotiating with Him, trying to work it down a little bit, because I'm afraid, you know, I don't know if we got that, and I don't know if my wife will go for that, you know. And so then, you know, you go to your wife and say, hey, listen, you know, what do you think? She goes, well, I was thinking, you know, 100. Then you feel like your faith is kind of weak. You know what I'm saying? And so it's one of those things where oftentimes we're afraid. We let our fears begin to direct us rather than saying, all right, God told me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And so how do we live? Do we live by fear or do we live by the word of God? Do we follow His teaching and do we line up with what He says? And so Jesus makes this statement. It's in red. It says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. All right, so what does it mean to fish for people? What does it mean to fish for people? You know, most of us in this room who, a lot of you guys raised your hand a while ago and you said, hey, I like to fish. Raise your hand if you like to fish again. All right, so those are the ones. All right, now put your hand. Now, raise your hand if you like to eat fish. All right. Man, there's a bunch of fish eaters up in here. But here's the thing. I don't like eating fish. Unless it doesn't taste like fish or doesn't smell like fish, you know, or I guess look like fish. But I love to fish. I love to fish. I love to catch fish. But I don't necessarily like to eat fish. Now, there's a certain couple of fish that I will eat because they don't taste like fish and they don't smell like fish. But my mom, man, she was like a cat, or, you know, she would eat any kind of fish. And my brother was that way. So I would always do the fishing. I love the fish, so I would catch them. I would clean them, but they ate them. I didn't like them. And I think sometimes whenever we think about fishing, and here Jesus, he's telling the disciples, hey, listen, you're going to be catching people. You know, you wonder, hey, what did they think? You know, and the thing is we're not catching them to kill them and eat them, you know, even though there's some people out there that probably think that's what we're going to do, you know, but we're not catching people to kill them and to eat them. We're not going to process them. We're not, you know, and it's not even our job to clean the fish. God cleans the fish, right? But here's the thing. It's a catch and release program like no other. I thought about, you know, even this morning as I was driving here, I thought about, you know, we're saying catch fish. Jesus is saying catch people. Catch people. Be a fishers of men. What does that look like? And so the thing is, I thought about it, it's kind of like, you know, a barrel. Say there's this barrel of contaminants, or maybe there's a pond where there's all kinds of contaminants in this pond, and these fish are going to die. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get those fish, we're trying to catch these fish to get them out of there, to put them into something that is better, that will be more abundant, that will have food, that they will have oxygen, they'll be able to do whatever. In other words, it's a catch and release. So in other words, you're caught up in sin, you're contaminated with the brokenness, the very things we sang about a while ago. And then all of a sudden, man, the hook of the gospel catches them and brings them into abundant life. And they're able to experience all that God has from them. They're able to enjoy all that God has blessed us with. And so it's not, hey, we're going to catch them, we're going to kill them. But hey, it's a catch and release. It's a catch and release to go do the Father's will. Catch them with the love of God. Catch them with the joy of our salvation. And then here's the thing, is release them to enjoy it themselves and to share it with others. So it's a catch and release like no other. There's a passage here. It's 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved, now it is the very power of God. Have you ever seen like biologists or seen people trying to catch, you know, certain animals to move them to a safer situation or a better situation or a healthier situation? Or like you see a moose caught in the ice, or a deer caught in a, you know, ice is broken through and they have to get rescued out there and they're trying to get it. Well, that animal may be fighting them, that they don't want to be. And they're saying, hey, listen, we're trying to get you out here so you can live. We're trying to get you out of here so you can be free. We're trying to get you out of here so you can roam through the wilderness. And so too many times I think people think, hey, you know what? We're trying to hurt them. We're not trying to hurt them. We're trying to set them free. Jesus said, I have come that the captives may be set free. And free. Man, that we're able to be walking in freedom, to have peace that passes understanding. And so, a couple things here. Catch and release. So, to catch fish, you must go where fish are, right? To catch fish, you must go where the fish are. You know, and so that means, hey, as we're going to church, we may see some friends that, you know what, they don't go to church anywhere. And we give them a call and say, hey, listen, why don't you guys meet us at church? All right? Maybe as you're going to work, you get to work, you've got coworkers that are not believers. You know what? They're fair game. Say, hey, listen, you know, God, show me how to connect with them. Show me how to reach out to them. You go to school with people that are not believers. You know, we go to a different place. We go to the ballpark. We go to the football games. We go to the stadiums. We go to all these different things. And there's lots of things that we do. Maybe you go to a restaurant and your waiter or your waitress, you're not sure about where they stand with God. It's a great place to fish, isn't it? It's a great place to present the gospel. It's a great place to present hope, to offer hope to those who have no hope. There's a delicate balance between being in the world without the world being in us. And so here's the balance. If we get to the point of where all we want to do is be where they are and do what they do, then we've got problems. The thing is God puts a light in a dark place. He puts a light in a dark area. We do the same thing. We can't see. We flip on a flashlight. We can't see. We do, you know, we do whatever we have to do to turn it on so that we can see. And the thing is God puts us in those places. And so there's a delicate balance between being in the world without the world being in us. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. It's real easy sometimes to lose sight, to kind of get off target, to kind of get off focus. And we get around certain friends, and instead of it being about the kingdom of God, it's about my kingdom. It's about their kingdom, about, you know, the kingdom of this world. And so we have to make sure that we've got friends around us that, you know, that hold us accountable. You know, reach out to us and say, hey, listen, man, how are you doing spiritually? We need those people in our lives. We need someone that will ask us, what's God teaching you? You know, what's your quiet time been like for the last few weeks? We need those people. But we also need to be reaching out to those who do not know God at all. It says here, pray for ways to connect with those around us. That's for, not just for you, but that's for us as a church. You know, one of the things we're always asking is the leadership of the church, how do we reach our community? Do we want to just sit in here and have church, have the holy roundup and hope that, you know, our community comes to it? No, we want to go. Say, hey, Jesus said, hey, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They didn't just hang out there where he was teaching. They went doing life. And so we've got to be willing to go doing life, reaching out, finding ways of connecting with those who do not know him. Finding friends, finding, you know, ways in the community to be able to present the gospel, to tell people about Christ. And here's the thing, is to make disciples, is to teach them what he's teaching us. Teach them what we've been taught. There's another statement there that says, we do not reach sinners by joining them in sin. I know everybody, you know, one of the first things that pops into their mind, hey, let's go to the bars, man, and reach everybody, because there's a lot of sinners up in there. There's sinners everywhere. There's sinners up in here. You know, but the thing is, hey, we go to the bar, man, maybe we'll hang out. Pastor said we could go reach people. We're fishing. Fishing in pagan ponds. That's what he said. Well, here's the thing is, doesn't mean you go live in sin. It means that you're a light in a dark world. Then you go, you know, hey, God, you know, how can I reach them? Not so that I can be in there with them. How can I reach them to bring them to the light? And so we do not reach sinners by joining them in sin. The second statement there says they are attracted to light. Let them see the difference in you. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've fished up at Lake Martin and Lake Jordan at night. And a lot of people have lights out by their piers, and they'll put these submerged lights out there. And, man, it's just fish just teeming around those lights. And what's always amazing is how you can't catch them. I mean, they're all around those lights, but we can't ever seem to catch them, you know. And maybe we're just not using the right stuff, the right equipment or whatever. But there's always fish around those lights. And here's the thing. The people of this world, they're attracted to the light, to truth. Just like I said a while ago, there may be some of you in here today that you're like Peter, you're interested. You're attracted to the teachings of Jesus. You're attracted to the fruits of the Spirit. You wonder how someone could have those things. And so what we need to understand as believers, as Christians, is how do we live out our life in such a way that we are a light to those who are walking in darkness, to those who are perishing, to those who are headed to destruction. How are we, or how can I, how can you be a light and a guide to the truth of God's Word and to the good news that Jesus wants to save them? He wants to heal them. He wants to set them free. And it says, and this is Jesus' words here. It says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Matthew 5. And here's the thing we need to understand. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, how you do your life, the deeds that you do, let them be a witness of the change that God has brought in your life. In other words, be different. Bless people. Look for a way to bless someone. You know, buy them a lunch, you know, or you just bless them. Cut their grass. You know, do something for them. Look for ways to serve someone. Most of us in this room, you know, we like, how many of y'all like free stuff? Raise your hand if you like free stuff. It's usually everybody. You know, those that didn't raise their hand, they just don't want anybody to know. I really like free stuff. But here's the thing, we all want free stuff. So it's always a blessing when someone does something for you. But the thing is we don't ever want to go do something for someone else. And the crazy thing about Christianity is whenever I get outside of myself and I try to meet the needs in someone else's life, God meets my needs. We're often looking for someone to do something for us, but God is saying, I want you to do something for someone else. I want you to bless them. I want you to be a blessing in their life. I want you to do something for them. And whenever we do that, God blesses us. And so here's another one. It takes different methods to catch different fish. It takes different methods to catch different fish. You know, I've fished my whole life, and I love fishing. And it's fun. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're always learning. If you ever get around someone who's a whole lot better fisherman than you are, hopefully you're teachable. You're learning. You're trying to see what they do, and you learn from them. And so I brought a couple of rod and reels. Billy, you mind coming up and helping me? I'm going to get Billy to be my mic man here. He's my mic stand anyway. Thank you, brother.
Good mic stand.
You can tell I'm a fisherman right there. All right, I'm going to let you hold that. So Billy's going to hold my mic. When I was growing up, I didn't know what this was. And so I'm going to lay this one down and kind of describe what this is over here. I grew up, you know, fishing with a little 202, Zebco 202. It was one of the first things. And anybody seen one of those? A little Zebco 202, a little cheap. It's what you give your kids on the first thing. And usually what you catch is you catch brim and stuff like that with it, little bitty fish. You get something very big on there, it's like the biggest fight in the world, and that thing's screaming. And so that's what I grew up fishing with, was a little Zebco 303. And then I kind of progressed. We got, I think I either got some birthday money, or got a Zebco 33, which that was kind of a little bit heavier. You catch catfish, you could do a little bit more with that. And so anyway, I had the bobber. How many of you guys grew up fishing with like a bobber and a hook? Raise your hand if you did. All right, it's most of us. It's kind of like so a lot of us in here start out, that's rookies, that's where you start. Or if you're fishing for brim, panfish type stuff, you do that. But I can remember one time I was swimming in a creek, and I had a guy come down the creek in a boat. I know, like I said, we were rednecks. We swam in a creek. How many of you guys swim in creeks? Raise your hand. I had a bunch of rednecks up in here. All right. So I feel at home, don't you, Billy? So here's the thing. Growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of swimming pools, but I did have a neighbor that had a homemade swimming pool. They had dug it out and made it, so we would swim in that one every once in a while. But most of the time, we were swimming in creeks. And so I was on Chickasaw Creek, and we were swimming there at the creek at a crybaby bridge. That's what it was called. And two guys come down the river and they have this. It's called a Snagless Sally. A yellow Snagless Sally. The other one had a white Snagless Sally. And I had never seen anybody use one. And they've got a ice chest full of bass. And anyway, so while they're literally coming by us, they catch a fish right there where we're swimming. I'm like, dude, I didn't even know those fish were in here. You know, and so I'm young or whatever. And that caught my eye. And I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm going to get a Snagless Sally if they can catch them that easy. And so I went out and bought one. And this is a bait catcher. This is a different type of reel. And then I found out how easy it is to bird nest these things. If you guys have ever thrown one of these, you know, it's real easy to throw one of these and turn it into a bird nest, or it gets hooked on something behind you. And so those are just a couple of different ways of fishing. Here's the thing. Different fish, different styles, different ways. I remember whenever I first learned how to catch catfish doing tight line and different things like that, where you didn't use a cork or anything. You just threw it out and you watched the line. So different ways. And so here, I'm going to swap with you. I'm going to let you take these, put those back. You don't hook the word. There you go. But those are just a couple of different ways. And then like with that bait caster, there's some guys in here that are bass fishermen. Raise your hand if you're a bass fisherman. Raise your hand. All right, so you know, I mean, there's different gears. I mean, you got some that, hey, use that for a spinning bait, or you use a spinning rod for this, or you use a crankbait for this, whatever. And you've got different stiffnesses on the rods and stuff. And then if we were to go deep sea fishing, it's a whole other set of gear. You know, and so the thing is, there's different ways of catching fish. There's different styles of catching fish. And the thing is we're always trying to ask ourselves as a church, how do we catch more fish? How do we catch more people? How do we catch people with the gospel of grace and set them free? And so for us as believers, that'll be our question. How do we reach as many as possible? Look at this statement here. It says, it takes different methods to catch different fish. And let me just say this. There's a statement that we always say in church circles. And when I say church circles, I'm talking about with pastors and church planners and stuff like that. It takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. It's one of our statements. But look at this statement here. It says it takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. So why do I say that? Because the church is what? It's the people. See, this building, this facility is not the church. When you guys drive by, this is the church facility, it's the church building. But we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones that are to be fishermen. This building doesn't catch anybody. It may catch someone's attention. But the thing is we are the church. And so when we look at that statement, it says it takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. That means it takes all of us. And there are some of you, like I was joking about the redneck thing, but it takes rednecks to reach rednecks, I guess. You know, whatever. But the thing is, it takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. So no matter what your background is, no matter what your style is, no matter what it might be, God will use you to reach people with the gospel of grace. God will use your testimony. He will use your story. He will use your hands, your service, the fact that you wash people's feet. He will use that to draw people unto Him. See, God's the one that draws them. But we are the ones that are to be fishing. We are the ones that are to be reaching out, sharing the gospel. God could have done it a lot of different ways, but He chose us, the church. He chose us, His people, to be the messenger, to be the voice, to be the fishermen. You know, the ones that would come and literally follow Him and say, you know what, I'm going to share what I have heard. I'm going to share what I have learned with others. So God offers that to us, and He's saying, hey, listen, I want you to fish for people. Look at this passage here. It says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Share its blessings. So let me ask you, do you really, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, because most of us in this room would say, hey man, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian. Do you use everything that you have been given? Everything that you have for an opportunity to present the gospel to someone. You know, maybe it's sporting clays. Maybe you like to shoot. Maybe it's fishing. You know, maybe it's scrapbooking. You know, I don't care what it is. Do you use your job? I love it when people say, you know what, God didn't give me this job to make money. God gave me this job to support my ministry of reaching people. And they're not pastors. They're working somewhere. So you know what, God provides for my family so that I can present the gospel wherever I go. And so we're called to be fishers of men. We're called to reach out, to catch them and release them. And then down here it talks about working together reaches more. I love this statement. It says, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. See, the thing is God uses our story. He uses our testimony. He uses something we've said, something we've done, and it's like a seed. And then someone else comes along and they share or they bless them or they teach them something or they do something and they water it. And then someone else comes along and tells them, hey, listen, I want you to know that God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And have you ever accepted Christ? And they may go, no, I've never done that. And so they get the opportunity and the blessing of being able to lead that person to Christ. And I'm telling you, there are people that are seeking. There are people that are interested all around you. For every one of you that's a believer here, there are people all around us. We are in a world that is full of lost people. And they're waiting on us to reach out to them. They're waiting on us to tell them. We had a lady in our church, and many of you have heard me tell the story. She went out to lunch with a coworker, and the coworker had invited the coworker to come to church. And so as they had been sitting in church, the coworker realized, you know what, I'm not sure I'm a believer. And so she went to lunch with her friend. She said, hey, you know, she told her, she said, I think I may be lost. I think I may not be you know, going to heaven. And her friend was like, really? Wow, well, I'll be praying for you. That's about all she did. And I remember her friend telling me, you know, I feel like I blew it. You know, I had an opportunity. I mean, here she is saying, I think I'm lost. I think I'm going to hell. I think, you know, and she's asking questions. So a couple of weeks later, they're at P.F. Chang's in Birmingham, and they're eating dinner, and kind of the conversation kind of got back there again, and they get in the car, and they drive all the way home from Birmingham to here, and they're talking, and finally pull up in their driveway, and she goes, hey, do you want to give your life to Christ? And she goes, yes. She goes, Well, let's go inside. So she goes in and she gets her Bible and she goes, I'm looking for the, you know, where's the sinner's prayer in the Bible? And she couldn't find the sinner's prayer. So she goes over and she gets on her laptop and she Googles the sinner's prayer. And her friend get down beside the coffee table and she prays to receive Christ right there by the coffee table. And we baptized her here at Journey Church. And here's what I'm saying. She wanted someone to share with her the hope that they had. And the person who was a believer knew that she should be, but she just kind of blew it. Thank God she got a second chance. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's people that God has put around you that they're waiting for you to tell them how you have got, how you got to the point of having a right relationship with God. How you have peace. How you have joy. So it's not something that we bottle up and that we just kind of keep to ourselves. It's something we're to share. We should be looking for ways to present the truth of the gospel and let it save them. Look at the statement here. It says, today I commit my life to following Christ no matter what it costs me. Well, that's a big statement. How many of us could or would really truly say that? Man, I commit my life to following Christ no matter what it costs me. What if it cost you your career? It cost Peter, James, John, Andrew, it cost them their career. They just had the catch of their life. I mean, they just hit the big one. And dude, they walk away from it. For some of you, that might be like going, hey, well, man, I just got the best job you could ever imagine. I just got my dream job. You know, and you wouldn't believe what they're going to pay me. But God's calling you to something else. Maybe he calls you, like I said, to a job where you're not making as much. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to follow him? Maybe he's calling you to the ministry. See, I believe God still calls people to the ministry. I still believe he calls them to the mission field. I still believe he calls them to plant churches. I believe that God is still calling people every day. He's calling people to be a part of things. And too often we're saying, you know, I've got too much stuff. I've got too much going on. I've got too many commitments. And God's saying, are you willing to just trust me? God is calling. And then look at these next two here. Today I commit to share my faith in Christ with those people God has put in my life. Is that a commitment that you would be willing to make? That you say, you know what, I'm going to make a commitment today, right now. That I'm going to share the hope that I have with those around me. You know what you are if you do that? You're a fisher of men. You're fishing for people. You're following Christ. You're following his teaching. You're following what he said. And look at the last one. Today I commit to bring my friends and family with me on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is kind of a big deal. I don't know if you know about it, but for Christians, it is, we celebrate, you know, on Good Friday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus went to the cross. With the song we sang earlier, he paid a debt. He didn't know, he paid for my sin. He washed me white as snow. And for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, we have received the greatest gift this world has ever seen. We have received the Messiah. We have received the promised one. He has come to live within us. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. He works in us. He works through us. And here's the thing. He is using us as a messenger of that same truth. So the thing is maybe you make that decision. Say, you know what? I'm going to invite some people to church on Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday is a big deal. But, you know, we need to be doing it every Sunday. Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Man, he did not stay in the grave, but he has been resurrected. And the power of the resurrection is at work in me and it's at work in you. If we're believers, we have the power of the resurrection at work in us. Amen. You ain't kidding. That's good stuff. All right, so here's the thing. All right, so do we want someone to miss out on that? No. Then we think, hey, who could I invite to hear that? So I want you to take a second. I want you to think about who are you going to invite right now. Think about who are you going to invite to be here Easter Sunday. Think about who it might be. Just think of their name. Just think, who am I going to invite? You got it? Everybody got it? All right, good. Because I want you to turn to somebody beside you and I want you to tell them who you're going to bring right now. For accountability. We all need accountability. Turn to the person beside you and say, hey, this is who I'm bringing. I don't care if you know them or not. You might look over and I don't know that person. It doesn't matter. Say, hey, I'm bringing Joe. I'm bringing Susie. I'm bringing, you know, Bob. All right, so you told them. All right, now I want you to turn and look at each other one more time. Kind of get to know them. Kind of look over and say, all right, I know who you are. All right, so I want you to try to sit by them now, not just today, but next week as well, so that they can hold you accountable to who you're going to bring for Easter weekend. Is that good? So look over and look at them again. Just say, wave at them. Turn and wave at them. Hey, listen, I'll see you next Sunday. Real quick, y'all going to do that? Pushing you out of your comfort zone a little bit, right? All right, so now you got some accountability. So who are you going to bring? Who are you praying about that needs to hear the gospel of Christ? That needs to hear about the cross, the resurrection, the empty tomb? Who are you going to bring? Because here's the thing. If all of us bring someone, and man, we get to see them give their life to Christ, we all celebrate. And it says that all of heaven celebrates if just one calls on his name. If just one calls on his name. So today I commit to bring my friends and my family with me. And like I said, it shouldn't be just Easter. But there's a lot of people, they'll go on two times during the year. They'll go on Christmas and they'll go on Easter. They may not go the rest of the year. But they'll have a tendency to go on those 2 days, Christmas and Easter. So it's our next best opportunity as believers to reach out to some people who may not know Christ. So I just want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I just want you to pray. First of all, I want you to pray for the person that God put on your heart. Take just a minute. I want you to pray for them. Say, God, I want you to open a door for me. God, give me the courage to ask them. God, show me how to reach out to them. Maybe there's others. Say, God, is there somebody else I need to reach out to? Maybe he gave you a bunch of names, a bunch of family members, a bunch of friends, a bunch of coworkers, a bunch of classmates. Just pray for them for just a second. Say, God, show me how to offer them hope. God, show me how to serve them. Show me how to be a blessing in their life. God, show me how to be a light. There may be some of you here today, you've never accepted Christ. Like I said earlier, you're interested. You're interested, kind of like Peter was. You're interested. Maybe you're even seeking. You've heard enough about Jesus that you know that He offers some things that you need. Maybe you want to know what it's like to have peace, to have joy. But you don't know how to get it. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, then the first step is to confess your sins and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I've blown it. But the real key is to put your faith in Him. It's not by cleaning your life up. It's not by becoming a better person. It's by surrendering. And maybe today, for the very first time, you realize, man, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. Maybe today, for the first time, you realize, you know what? I am lost. I am searching. I'm in need. And your prayer is, Jesus, will you save me? If that's you, nobody else is looking around, just raise your hand. I'm looking. Raise your hand so I can be praying for you. Anybody in the room, just say, Mike, that's me. I want to accept Christ today for salvation. I want to ask Him to come into my life and to save me. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're saying, hey, I want to be saved. I want Christ to live in me. Okay. Everybody else, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Those that raised your hand, I want you to look up here. Look at me. Look at me. I hope all three of you understand this. God sent His Son to die for you. He sent His Son to save you. He sent His Son to the cross for you, for me, for our sins, for our transgressions, for our mistakes. So here's the thing, is we are only saved by faith in Him. It's His grace. And so the way that we do that is that we acknowledge who He is. We say, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I believe You can save me. You might ask, well, how much faith does it take, all that you've got? And so with all the faith that you have in you, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Christ. I want to lead you through a prayer. Those three that raised your hand, I want to lead you through a prayer, all right? All three of you. It's as simple as this. This has to be your prayer. It's not my prayer. But it's your prayer. So if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you put your faith in Him, He says He'll save you. So I want to lead you through a prayer. It goes like this. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe You can save me. I believe You can change me. I believe You can heal me. I believe You can set me free. Jesus, with all the faith that I have, I put my faith in You. And I trust You and You alone to put me in right standing with God the Father. There's no other way. I confess to You that I have messed up. I've sinned. And I ask You to forgive me. And I want to quit living the way I've been living, and I want to live for You. That's your prayer. And it's from your heart. The Bible says you will be saved. So for those three that raised your hand, if that's your prayer, you believe with all your heart, He'll save you. There may be others in the room here. Man, you made that decision a long time ago, but man, you haven't been a witness. You haven't been sharing. You haven't been fishing. Maybe it's time, just fresh and new, to say, you know what, I want to make a commitment today, fresh and new, to share my faith. To share my story. To share how God has affected me. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Anybody. Just raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. I want to be a better witness. I want to share my story. It's not very many hands across the room. Mike, I want to be a better witness. All right. It only takes a few. But imagine what it could do if all of us would surrender to that. Say, God, I want You to use me as Your vessel. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hand. Especially these three who raised their hand for salvation. God, I pray that You'd bless them. Help us help them. God, we want to bless them with a new Bible. We know that. But God, we want You to bring that Bible to life. Let it be life for them. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hand that want to be witnesses for You. God, use us as witnesses for You. Help us to share the hope of this world with those who have no hope. God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for blessing us. God, thank You for Easter, what it represents. Thank You for the cross, Good Friday.